Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
From planting to harvesting and even stealing from your neighbour's patch, Grow Your Garden has been breaking records on the online gaming platform Roblox. Now, the game had about 9 billion visits since it was created in March of this year, and 35% of the players are aged 13 and under. But there are concerns about how safe the online gaming platform is, so what precautions can parents take? Well, I'm joined for more on this in the studio by Ciara O'Brien, who's business and technology journalist with the Irish Times, and Alwyn Moran is here as well, child neurological developmental therapist, and you're both welcome. Thank you for being with us. So Ciara, parents might have heard their children talking about growing sugar apples and selling their harvest. It is massively popular, isn't it?
It is. And I kind of feel like it's similar to, if you remember Farmville back in the early Facebook days, where we were all, I wasn't doing it, but people were basically, you know, growing things, harvesting them, and basically looking after farm. It's the same thing. Now, I've played Grow Your Garden, and I think what a lot of parents should be aware of, while it seems very wholesome, and it does, there is also an element of, you know, constantly trying to push kids to buy stuff. So, you know, you can do it for free. So you can you buy your seeds with your in-game currency that you get. You know, it's you earn kind of coins in the game. So you buy the seeds initially, you plant a couple of carrot seeds, you grow those carrots, you sell them within the game to one of these little stalls, they give you money back, you can buy more seeds, and you can go from there. But you can do things much faster if you buy Robux. And this is the absolute bane of my life, because I've got an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old, both of whom love Roblox. And the constant thing we get is, can I buy Robux? And that's basically just in-game currency. And I'm trying to get across to them, you know, that once you buy this and you spend it on digital nonsense in this game, that's it. You know, it's gone. You don't have anything tangible from it, but they don't really care.
But is it a case that you can only get so far in the game if you don't buy the Robux?
This is, for a lot of games, it is, yes. But I haven't played this one long enough now to because I refuse to get sucked into yet another time suck. But yeah, I mean, like you can basically with Robux, you can buy better seeds. You can, you know, make things grow faster. You can steal from your neighbours. So your neighbours have all their patches, you know, well tended, and you can go with your Robux and basically harvest their crops, which is, as you'd imagine, going to go down very well. So you're going to spend half the time, you know, tending your own crops and the other half defending them from people who are trying to steal them because they have Robux and you don't.
So that's one thing that we should be careful of. So if our children are playing this game, that they might be, if they're linked to a credit card or a debit card, they could be buying the currency.
I would absolutely limit, if you're a parent and you've managed to buy Robux in the past, make sure your child cannot. So, and this is where the parental controls come in. Now, parental controls are great, but I say, like, anytime anybody asks me what's the most effective parental control, the first thing I say is a conversation with your child beforehand. So we have rules in our house around, you know, video games and screens, and they, for the most part, they stick to them. Obviously, occasionally they do not, as I found out my child had created a random Roblox account, not to get around the parental controls, but because he got logged out of his original one and he couldn't get back in. So my 8-year-old managed to create a completely untethered account, so it wasn't linked to mine. I didn't know what he was doing on it. It was only that his sister said to me, he's created a new account, because he was still playing the same things. It still looked the same to me.
We had a similar situation in our house as well, and you have to be constantly on your guard. And they're not necessarily doing it because they don't want you to see what they're doing. They're doing it for convenience and for speed.
He couldn't get into his account. I was busy, so he created a new one. And, you know, we figured it out fairly quickly, and obviously that account has now been deleted. But, you know, I'm fairly well up on all these parental controls and I couldn't stop that. So I think, and there's so many of these controls, and there's so many apps and games and stuff that, and so many digital worlds that kids are involved in now. It's very difficult for parents to actually keep up with all this. So what I'd say is the first thing you should do is have a conversation with your child about appropriate use of whatever apps they're in. And also you need to be in those apps as well. There's the amount of parents I hear saying, oh, I don't do TikTok, I don't do social media, I don't understand Roblox. You need to understand it, and you need to kind of get up on it, because if you are going to allow your child into those digital worlds, you need to know what is there, because it's not just about spending money, it's also the type of people they will come in contact with. And you can try to limit it as much as possible, but as we've seen in fairly recently as well, you know, by
different investigations, that kids are getting access to areas that they should not be getting access to, and they're getting access to content that you would not be happy with them getting access to, and they are being approached by people who should not be approaching them.
Okay, so Alwyn, we heard Ciara saying there the best control here is have a conversation with your child. But should we be allowing our children on here at all?
The million dollar question. Maybe I'd play Switzerland. My real one would be, my real answer would be no, it's really not. Their brains aren't ready for this kind of activity, content. We're putting too much on a very immature brain. We're expecting them to be able to moderate their own behavior. We're expecting them to be able to, identify red flags, find who's making an approach that has a nefarious kind of behind the attitude towards.
But say in my situation now, and yeah. Ciara's saying, like, I have blocked all contact. Nobody can contact my child who's playing Roblox. Is that not enough, are you saying?
I really don't think so, no. They're Roblox and other online games give our kids dopamine hits, and their brains are extremely vulnerable, particularly the reward systems between the ages of 9 and 14. So that's our kind of our tweens and our teens. Mm. And this is, a huge cohort playing kind of online games at this age. So because our brains are so susceptible at that age, we're rewiring the brain essentially, and constantly hitting and giving hits to the addictive centres.
Going back to what we were talking to Colin O'Gara with, are you concerned about gambling here as being an eventual outcome?
Well, that's what Roblox really is, because when you look at, they've loot boxes and things like that within it, and a loot box is, it kind of gives that, you don't know what the outcome is going to be. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like a slot machine, essentially, online.
Yeah, Roblox did put restrictions on loot boxes, didn't they, when they introduced new safeguards last year, certainly for the under 13s?
They have, but yeah. The problem here is that if you don't understand the controls that are available on Roblox, you might not realise that you're supposed to create a child account and put a genuine date of birth, because, the system will only implement the controls that it can based on the information that you give it.
So it needs to be linked to an adult.
So if you have said that your child is older than they are, as some parents have in the past, just for convenience, or, maybe because the child's created the account themselves, well, then none of those parental controls are going to apply. If you say your child is older than 13 and they're not, none of those parental controls are going to automatically apply. You will have to go back and do that yourself. It also means that there's certain experiences that you can lock out according to maturity ratings.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, I was having a look at it this morning, and a lot of the experiences now come with an NA on the maturity rating. Now, they're supposed to be locked out as well for under 13s, because there's no maturity rating on it at all. And they were ones that were like a horror, what they call horror obbies, which are like kind of, escape the cursed village. Now, I was looking at them now. I'm in my 40s, and they were kind of creeping me out. Now, I can now imagine, somebody under the age of 10, if they saw this, it would actually scare them.
They're not going to be able to handle that.
No. They're supposed to be locked out, but if you've told the system that your child is older than they are, the system's not going to identify that content should be locked out. So again, it starts with making sure that the proper information, if you are going to allow your child access to these games, that they have the proper information, that you have put the proper safeguards in place.
Mm-hmm. I think co-playing with your child is really important. It's more important than, having that preemptive conversation with them, which is still important, but actually sitting down and co-playing with them so that you're in their world, you're meeting them where they are, you're experiencing what they're experiencing, and you're getting yourself kind of up to speed on it. It might not be your cup of tea, but definitely to keep your child safe, you can also then help train them on red flags and things like that, what to look out for. You can have really good, then meaningful conversations around, what's happening and what's appropriate conversation and communication on Roblox as well.
What sort of things should we be looking out for in a child's behaviour that would raise a red flag, that should raise a red flag with us?
Yeah, so maybe around the obsessive behaviour, so where you can't detach them from the game, or where they have the compulsive, where they just want to play all the time. There is then if they have a meltdown when you, you know, when it's time to turn the game off, no matter how, because actually if your child is deep in play, you can't just turn it off straight away. You've got to actually physically kind of touch them and say, okay, you've 5 minutes left. The timer is on. So you're actually, by doing that, you're starting to pull them back out, which actually brings their hormone levels down and, you know, helps them to pull themselves out of that game. And then in the 5 minutes, that's the countdown. You can keep kind of talking and, you know, annoying them essentially, but then you turn it off and you're minimizing the potential for meltdowns. So if there's meltdowns after, look at how you're turning it off. But also then that is a big red flag to you that your child is so deeply connected and involved in this game.
They're in another reality.
They're completely, they're not with you at all. They really are in that other world. And then secretive play. So if they're off playing, you know, or, you know, if they get a device where they can run off to their room and lock themselves in the room or whatever and hide and play where they know they shouldn't be playing, but they are. So that's very addictive behavior signs and signals. And then what is the other one? It is alternative accounts. So if they've got a secret second account that doesn't have parental controls on there. So it's all very much secretive addictive
behavior. And we should
behavior.
Be okay with it enough that we know that that is going on. Yeah. You know, going back to what you were saying earlier about playing with them, and Kira, you were saying as well that we should know what these things are. We should be all over it, really. We should know what's happening on the different platforms that they're using.
Yeah, I mean, like, Roblox is not my thing. It bores me rigid, but, you know, I have to.
I just don't like the graphics
no,
on it. It's not appealing to,
no,
me, to me.
Nothing about Roblox appeals to me at all. But, you know, I the same, like, for Minecraft and things like that, you know, it's just not really that interesting to me, but I have to kind of get in there and see what they're doing and who they're playing with, and, you know, making sure that they know. I also check the accounts every so often to make sure their friends list are who they're supposed to be, because they're only allowed to add people that I've approved, you know, because you get bombarded with friends requests. And I think of the second most effective parental control in our house is my 10-year-old daughter, because she will tell on him if he's actually done anything that he's not supposed to. But he admits it as well, you know, and we do, like what Alan was saying there about, you know, secretive playing, like, we have a box where all the devices go after a certain time. So if they've been playing with their iPad, the iPad goes into that box and it's within reach, but they don't touch it because they know if they do kind of, you know, play when they're not supposed to, if they are using them when they're not supposed to, well, then there'll be consequences for it. You know, that if there's a trust thing there, I'm trusting them not to use them. And I will absolutely know, because the parental controls on an iPad will tell me when they've been playing. But they know that if they actually take those devices out when they're not supposed to have them, that the devices will be taken away. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that it's a privilege, not a right, if you know what I mean.
We all need a Kira in our house, I think, because, you know, you're all over it.
I'm the narky mother. You know?
I know, but you have to be. That's what we're learning.
That's it.
You need
is.
To be a pain.
Absolutely. But you know what? It's so important, because it helps our little ones build resilience for future. So, you know, that's the key thing. And also, not to feed into the, well, everybody in my class is doing a culture, because our children are wired at that age to seek social validation.
Yeah.
We're not the centre of their worlds anymore once they hit 9. So they do start to pull away, and they're much more concerned about their peers and what their peers think. But we as parents need to know that, but also need to teach them how to be an independent thinker and how not to follow into that culture of, you know, everybody's doing it, so therefore I must. Doesn't necessarily mean that because everybody is doing it, it is actually good for you.
True.
So it's a really, you know, we need to check ourselves and just, you know, revalidate our parenting and go, it is okay for you not.
Last word, Kira.
Sorry.
The other thing we have to do is model it. So there's no point in you telling your child to put down a device if you're stuck into your phone. So
yeah, fair enough.
Know,
yeah.
There is that.
Good point.
And I'm guilty of it myself. So.
We all are. Kira, thanks so much. Kira O'Brien and Alwyn Moore.